Thank you for tuning into sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. Our goal is to help you know God more and take the next step in your spiritual journey, no matter where you're at. If you have questions about God or about Liberty, you can connect with us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
Commitments that change everything. All of our lives are made up of a variety of commitments, aren't they? What's our life really made up of? Our life is made up of the time, the relationships, the possessions that we have. And then our life is made up of what we commit to, how we use, how we spend those things that our lives made up of, how we spend our time, our relationships, our money, our possessions. So the question this morning is, what are you and what am I committed to in 2026? What will get our time, our energy, our effort, our material possessions, our money? What will get those things? Let's think about some of the things that we commit our time and or our money, our resources to. We make monthly or annual commitments to services like Netflix or NFL Sunday Ticket or Hulu or Disney Plus or Prime Video or maybe all of the above. And those things get some portion of our time and our money on a monthly or an annual basis or sometimes maybe even a daily basis, don't they? Most of us make commitments to give 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day for 5 or 6 days a week to our place of employment. That's a commitment that we make with our resources, our time, our energy, our money. We commit to youth sports for our children. And if you've been involved in youth sports, you know that that can be a significant commitment of time and or money and resources. We commit to a gym membership or a personal trainer. We commit to music lessons. We commit to a college course or in pursuit of a degree. Maybe we commit to a book club. I recently committed to a pastor's cohort with about 10 other pastors for the next 10 weeks on Mondays afternoons. I'll have a Zoom meeting. I've committed that block of time, and we're going to seek to sharpen each other and to grow in our understanding of God's word and our ability to study the Bible and to preach effectively and to become more effective in my handling of God's word. What is it? I looked at my calendar and said, I'm willing to commit this block of time once a week for the next 10 weeks. Why? Because I find that valuable. We commit our kids to spend 35 hours a week in school, maybe, or we commit to the fandom of a certain sports team. And then we ask ourselves why we allow the 49ers to affect our emotional health so much after they drop a bomb last night and score only 3 points in the final game of the year when they could be the number one seed in the NFC. Life could be so much better. The new year could have been off to such a better start. I'm doing fine. Don't worry about it. And the list goes on. What will we commit ourselves to in 2026? All of these commitments that I mentioned and others require some amount of our time or our money or both, don't they? The question is, what impact are these commitments having in our lives? Are they the right commitments? Where are we spending the finite resources that we have of life and of time and material goods? Are they valuable commitments? Are they causing us to live the lives that God wants us to live? And every one of us, our lives are short. We have to take inventory of the things that we commit to and the ways that we commit our lives, and then we have to adjust if necessary. We'll have to say yes to the right commitments and no to the others. And by the way, it's not always a bad thing. It's not always the bad things that we have to say no to. Sometimes it's a good thing that isn't the best thing. It's been said that good is often the enemy of the best. And so sometimes we're presented with a lot of good things, and we have to decide, what am I going to commit to? Where are my commitments going to lie? And it's easy if it's a good thing or a bad thing to know what to say yes to. Sometimes it's harder when it's a bunch of good things, but we can't say yes to everything. Last week, I talked to you, if you were here, about two personal commitments. This is a two-week series, Commitments That Change Everything, to finish off last year and to begin the new year. And I mentioned this last week, but today's message and last week's message are different from my normal preaching style. Two weeks from now, we'll be back into the book of Luke, walking verse by verse through that. Today is not necessarily an exposition of a passage. Today is more a practical shepherding message from a pastor's heart to try to equip us with some practical things that will help us to live the lives that God would have us to live. And I talked to you last week about two personal commitments, really private commitments, if you will, personal commitments. And I said, the commitment to Christ, salvation, do you know that changes everything? If you're here today and there's never been a time and a place in your life that you've put your faith and trust in Christ alone, make that commitment to Christ, accept him as your Savior. It changes everything. And then I challenged us last week in our commitment to the Bible. And I gave you a bunch of different practical tools and things to kind of get a handle of God's word. I gave you three different Bible reading plans on the YouVersion Bible app that our church is kind of going through. If you'd like to jump on one of those, I gave you a couple others of those. And I saw several of you that have jumped on different ones of these and you're walking through that already. Others are doing others. I got emails from several people this week that said last year they took a challenge similar to what I preached last week. And it changed their year. It was the greatest year of their lives and in scripture and in God's word. And they talked about how what you said is true, that if we'll commit to the Bible, it changes everything. And so I challenged you last week with those two personal commitments. Today, I challenge you with three, what I'm calling public commitments. Started with the personal commitments because I want us to understand the Christian life is an inside out life. It always starts private before it goes public. It's the Christian life is relationship over routine, internal over external, growing in Christ before doing for Christ. Who you are is more important than what you do. And I want you to hear that because we're going to talk today about some things that I'm going to challenge you to do, but I don't want you to hear this as if we're boiling down the Christian life to a checklist of scheduled appointments that you can make. And then you are, now I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm in church and I'm checking all the boxes. Be careful that you don't boil the Christian life down to a list of rules or checklists. It always starts with the relationship with Christ and growing in his word before it starts. It's growing in him before doing for him. We're human beings, not human doings, right? So understand that. So we started where we did last week. It's internal before external. But I want us to see three public commitments that I believe will change everything. I believe that because I've watched them change everything in my life and the lives of countless of others, the lives of my family, and through the decades that I've been a Christian now. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians 5 and 6, it's an interesting passage, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, this letter. In Ephesians 5, if you ever go to a marriage seminar or a couples retreat, if you ever go to some place like that, you will almost, not always, but very often they're going to bring something out of Ephesians 5. It's a marriage passage that gives us a whole lot. But it's an interesting passage because in it, Paul, he's teaching about marriage, but then he says, I'm teaching you about your relationship as the church to Christ. And really what he's doing, like I said last week, Jesus did this often, using a physical analogy, an earthly analogy to help us understand a spiritual truth. Didn't Jesus do that? You must be born again. A physical analogy, the milk of the word, the meat of the word. I talked about it last week about eating our daily bread, if you will. We understand the importance of, and by the way, I said this last week, but let me say it again now that we're 4 days into the new year. If you miss a day reading your Bible, it's one reason we did these new plans, a couple of these plans. I like the way that they're framed. They give you a little bit of time to catch up on a day where you get sick or you're traveling or you're busy and you just fail to read like you had planned to. But I love this. Pastor Sammy sent me a quote this week. It's something along the lines of, remember, it's not just a checklist. It's to grow spiritually. And he said this, if you missed a meal, you wouldn't stop eating. You don't stop eating because you got too busy to eat a meal one day. You didn't eat lunch one day. Well, I'll never eat lunch again. If you miss a day reading your Bible, get back up and read your Bible again the next day. It's okay. But that physical analogy, Paul does that same thing here to the church at Ephesus. He uses the relationship of marriage, which we understand to be one of the closest human relationships that we ought to have, if you're married, the closest human relationship on earth. He uses it to teach us some things about what it means to be a part of the church, the called out assembly, the family of God in our relationship with Christ. Look at Ephesians 5, verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Husbands and wives, he's talking about. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he's the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. Again, he uses a physical analogy to help us understand our commitment to the church. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. If you've been married for any length of time, you can agree at times marriage is a great mystery. Paul said it. This is a mystery how this all works together. But then he says this at the end of the verse. Notice what he says. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Paul uses what is one of our, if not our greatest earthly commitment. And then he says, this is a picture of our greatest spiritual commitment. The relationship of marriage is a picture of what our relationship as the church, and by the way, the church is not the building. The church is the people. So when I say the church, that's you, that's me. Whenever I say the church, I'm talking about you. It's a picture of the church, you and me, and our commitment to Christ. It's interesting how important the church is to Jesus. The Bible says he gave himself for it. He's coming back for it. But the two physical analogies that the Bible uses for the church calls it the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. Your body and your bride, your marriage, there's not things much more important. Jesus cares about the church. It is simply here a picture of what should be our greatest spiritual commitment. And by the way, when we make that commitment, notice in verse number 24, he says, as the church is subject unto Christ, just like a wife commits her life to her husband at the wedding altar, when you're saved, when you commit the church to Christ, that same loyalty, allegiance, love, when you commit to Christ, it changes everything, verses 26 and 27, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it. He might present it to himself, a glorious church. What is he saying? He will change everything if you will make that commitment. Again, we're going to give you some practical thoughts on these three public commitments. Number one, what are these commitments that I want to challenge you to consider? And if you're a guest here, you don't attend church here, whatever church you regularly attend, take these thoughts back with you to your church. What are these three commitments? Number one, a commitment to church attendance. A commitment to church attendance. In God's infinite wisdom, he ordained the importance for every believer to find a local church to belong to and thrive in. That's God's plan, not mine. In his divine wisdom, he ordained that every believer, we don't just get saved and then we live our lives on our own. It is God's plan that every believer be a part of a local church, an assembly of people, a group of people to grow and thrive. And God uses that commitment to change everything. We're told on average, U.S. church members attend about 1.6 times per month, or roughly 2 out of every 5 Sundays of their church. The bride of Christ, the body of Christ, that which Jesus holds of utmost priority, we go when it's convenient. we commit to when it works out in everything else that's going on in our schedules. Let me just ask you, how would that level of commitment right there work in any other area of your life? How would your career go if you decided to go to work 2 out of every 5 workdays? How would your physical fitness be if you decided to show up 2 out of every 5 scheduled workouts? How would your marriage be if you came home 2 out of every 5 days? How would your friendship go if you answered 2 out of every 5 texts? Some of you are like, that's more than I answer right now. That would go really well. Let me just see. Any of you out there, you have more than 100 unread texts in that red bubble? You are stressing me out. Let me see. There's people in every section. I'm like OCD on the red bubbles there. Don't answer that one. Maybe that's not a good illustration. What does the Bible say about our commitment to church attendance? Hebrews chapter number 10, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But why do we gather? Exhorting one another, encouraging one another, growing together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's what this message and last week's message really is from a pastor's heart, exhorting you to love and good works. All of us commit to something. We all make commitments, again, to work, to pleasure, to hobbies, to relationships. We all make commitments. I want to exhort you to commit in this coming year to church attendance, and your church attendance will directly and deeply affect your spiritual health, period. The two greatest determining factors of the pace of your Christian growth and the strength of your Christian life are your commitment to God's word and your local church. Someone told a pastor, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. To which the pastor replied, you're right. And you don't have to go home to be married, but it sure helps the relationship. This is God's ordinance. He established this. This isn't a social club idea that I came up with or someone else did. God established that we plug into a church family, and we've gotten such a wrong view in Western culture in 2025 of what the church is. It's become an entertainment venue. It's become just a place to networking. It's become a place to come in and get a self-help talk. No, it's supposed to be a body that we plug into. It's a family that we're a part of. Jesus said, members of the body, and use the physical analogy, plug into your church. Make a decision today is my challenge to you, that unless you're providentially hindered, you'll prioritize your church in such a way that you'll be in weekly services. Every Sunday, there will be things, I promise you, that if you'll come, God will use to challenge you, to help you, to teach you, to encourage you, to equip you. Things that you won't receive if you're not here. Next week is Vision Sunday, and I'll be sharing much of what's coming in the new year, and we'll share different opportunities and events and programs and opportunities for outreach and different things that we're doing next Sunday. Why? Why do we do all of these things? Because we're sitting around the office, we've got nothing else to do. No, because we want to provide opportunities for you to grow in your spiritual walk. And then 2 weeks later, we'll begin a new sermon series on the 18th, I think it's the 18th, Peaks and valleys, jumping back into the book of Luke and talking about the ups and downs of the Christian life. Every week I will labor in the word, and I'll pray, and I'm not a perfect preacher, and I'm not the best preacher, but I promise you I'll come with the desire to give you something that will help you. And so hopefully you'll receive help from the preaching, and hopefully you'll receive encouragement from the singing, and hopefully you'll spend some time in prayer, and hopefully you'll begin to build relationships, and the fellowship will be there, and maybe you're having a tough day, and you'll be able to pray with someone. God established the church for our good and for his glory. How is your commitment to his church? For Tiffany and me, this has been a commitment for us since we were children. As teens, as college students, as young adults, as a young married couple, and now a young middle-aged couple, we're on that young end of that. Can I say we have no regrets about our commitment to church attendance? As I schedule my annual calendar, I seek to limit my absence from the weekly services of Liberty. Baptist Church to 4 to 6 Sundays per year, 2 of those for family vacation most years, 1 to 2 of those for a missions trip, or like this year we'll travel to Israel, and then 1 to 2 of those to possibly preach out of town somewhere I think I might be able to be a blessing or a help to a pastor friend or a church that's in need there. And I look at my schedule and I seek to schedule. I've said no to probably 6 in the last month, 6 to 8 speaking engagements. Why? Because those are good things. I was invited to preach last week in Tennessee and the week before that in South Carolina. And I've said no to those. This is not a boasting thing. Why? Why do I do that? Because I have a commitment to this family and I have a commitment to my family. And those are good things, but they're not always the best things. Look at your schedule and you're going to have to say yes to some things and no to some things, but a commitment to God's church. Why? Because I need my church and my church needs me. You need your church and your church needs you. Secondly, a commitment to Christian community. We need each other. We're better together. We need godly friends and influences and mentors and leaders in our lives. What does Proverbs say? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. My father-in-law would paraphrase this to say this: show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Don't we tell our kids that? Be careful of the friends you spend time with. Be careful who you're hanging out with. Oh, I don't like that guy. I'm not sure about that girl. Oh, I don't know if that's a great influence there. It doesn't change when you graduate from high school or college. Our relationships still matter. They still influence us. They still impact us. The Christian life was not intended to be lived in isolation. God wants us to grow together. We tell our kids that. We need to understand that true for us. The Christian life, we need each other. If you don't believe me, I'd encourage you, do a study on all the one another's in the New Testament. What is the New Testament? The New Testament is all about the church. The Gospels is all about the forming of the church, if you will. The letters are to the church, and then Revelation talks about when Jesus comes back for his church. New Testament is all about the local church. And study all the one another's in the New Testament. There are more than 100 instances in the New Testament that talk about our responsibility to one another as believers. Here are just a few. Jesus told his disciples to love one another. Paul told the Romans to be kind to one another. He told the church at Ephesus and Colossae to forgive one another. He challenged the Thessalonians to comfort one another. We're encouraged to confess our faults to one another. The churches at Galatia were told to bear one another's burdens and to pray for one another, to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Peter said to have compassion one of another, serve one another, forbear one another, strengthen one another, sharpen one another. Do you get the idea? We need one another to live this life well. How are we going to do all of those one another's if we're not getting to know one another? If we're not spending time with one another, if we're not texting one another, praying with one another, grabbing lunch together, jumping into a community group together, serving together, how are we going to do that if our entire church experience, if you will, is coming in, sitting down, listening to 4 songs, hoping that they sing our favorite one that week, hearing a 30 or 40 or sometimes 50 minute a message, and then leaving? I believe that the singing, the preaching matters. But part of what matters about our commitment to church is the relationships that we build. We need each other. To weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. We rejoice as Andy and Ashley get engaged and we support a young couple and they have older couples they can learn from and can invest in them and can pour into them. This is God's plan for the church. He didn't intend for you to be isolated. So how are you going to do that programmatically? We can't force all of this, and a lot of it is you're going to be as involved as you want to be. But as shepherds and as leaders and as pastors, programmatically, we look and say, what are things we can do that can help foster Christian community? One of the ways that we try to do that are our community groups. They meet on Sunday mornings. They meet on Tuesday morning, Tuesday evenings, most of them on Wednesday evenings, Thursday evenings for young adults. A place where you can gather with a smaller group of Christians to get to know them, to pray together, to ask questions together, to learn together. And that's why twice a year out in the lobby when you leave, we have the sign-up sheets. We call it Ministry Involvement Sunday. It's an opportunity for you to look and see. I think Pastor Jay, with All Told, I think it's around 18 different groups that are being offered this next semester or this next session from January to May. Why do we have those? so that you can, yes, grow together, but spiritually and learn together, but also grow together in community, in friendship, in relationship. We have a video that shares a few of the groups that are coming up. Take a look at this, if you will.
Church isn't just a place you go, it's a people you belong to. That's why we have community groups. They're where friendships are formed, prayers are shared, and faith is strengthened. It's a place to open God's word, ask real questions, and walk through it all together. Here are a few groups we're offering this quarter.
Hello, this is Rodney Williams. And our connection group's gonna be doing an intensive study in the book of Galatians, where we'll look at God's grace, love, and acceptance of those who believe in him.
Hi, my name is Natalie, and I will be teaching a women's class starting at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We are going to be going through the book of Esther, verse by verse, learning how one woman impacted an entire nation. I can't wait. Hope to see you there.
If the North Tustin, Santa Ana, Orange area is convenient for you, then we'd like you to consider joining us Tuesday nights at the home of Craig and Julie Smith. We go over Pastor's sermon, take them a little bit deeper, enjoy doing that, and enjoy being with our friends.
I'm Pastor Mike, and I am excited for my wife and I to do a couples group through some of Gary Chapman's most famous material on the love languages and the marriage you've always wanted.
I'm Diana Quackenbush, and I'll be leading a ladies' Bible study based on the names of God. All ladies, regardless of age, are invited to join us.
My name is Doug McBaines. I'll be leading a group called Avoiding Confusion.
Hello, my name is Janelle, and I'm so excited to start our Bible study through a series entitled What Women Fear. We'll be looking at biblical examples of fear and how God equips us with the faith we need to face even our deepest worries.
Hi, this is Jason Hay. I wanted to invite you to stay rooted with us this semester in a study on prayer and daily devotions.
So I'll be leading a group on Tuesday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Lewis home. We'll be going through the book of Romans.
I am excited for our men's Bible study at 9 a.m., going through the book, The Samson Syndrome, learning biblical lessons from the faults and failures of one of the strongest men in the Bible.
Along with the groups you've already seen, we also have so many other great opportunities to get connected here at Liberty. We have Kids Point and Kids Point Next for our kids, youth group every Wednesday night, and we have a group going through Revelation with Bob Keller. We have a young couples group that meets on Wednesday nights and even offer Spanish ministry groups meeting Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings. So there's truly something for everyone.
No matter your season of life, there's a place for you. Community groups meet throughout the week all across our church family. Find your group today in the lobby after the service.
And as I mentioned, on Thursday nights, our young adults group has continued to grow in recent years. If you're new to our church, we have our Rooted discipleship group, and we have those in the lobby again. Why? Because the goal is, can you receive content on your own? Sure, we live in a time where there's more content anywhere, but the goal is to grow together, one another. And maybe for you, that's a commitment you need to make. I'm going to jump into a group to grow together with some other Christians on a weekly basis. The last commitment that can change everything, our commitment, I said, to church attendance, our commitment to Christian community, and our commitment, number three, to Christian service. The church isn't just a social club for us to hang out with our friends. It's a place for us to use our gifts for eternal impact. Paul told the Romans not to be slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. What was he saying? Don't be lazy. Get to work. Don't just take, give. Don't just be a consumer, be a contributor. Going back to the physical analogy, the Christian life is diet and exercise. It's good to take in and to feed and have good nutrition, good meat. Hear preaching, be in the Bible, be in a Bible study, be in a community group, be reading your Bible daily. That's good, good diet. Fix your, have a healthier spiritual diet. But the goal is not just diet. It's not just to receive. The goal is diet and exercise. The goal is to take what we've learned and to put it into practice. The goal for us in our lives is yes, our intake matters, but so does our outflow. The idea, by the way, of this idea of consumer Christianity, where all we do is take, it is foreign to the example of the church, of church membership in the New Testament. In modern Western culture, we have boiled down our church involvement to 1 hour of entertainment and self-help content per week. We've become consumers. We have our favorite restaurant, our favorite barber, our favorite coffee shop, our favorite church, all of which exist to meet my needs, to make me feel better, to provide some service that enriches my life. The goal is not just to find the place that makes me feel better and enriches my life. It's to receive so I can give. It's to grow so I can help someone else grow. It's to learn so I can help someone else learn. God wants us to be not buckets, but funnels. He doesn't want us just to take. No, we receive so that we can give. So the question is, how are you serving? How are you using your gifts to impact someone else's life for the glory of God? Who are you investing in? How are you helping others grow? How are you helping others find and follow Jesus? And you don't have to do what I do, and I don't have to do what you do. And what you do doesn't have to, you don't do it so that I'm impressed by what you do. But all of us should be asking, how am I taking what I've been giving and using it to make an impact in the lives of others? What did Paul tell his protege Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 2? And the things which thou, Timothy, hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, notice this, who shall be able to teach others also. What's the goal? The goal is that I had a pastor that stood up and preached when I knew nothing about the Bible, and I learned, and I got saved, and I started going to weekly Sunday school classes, and I grew in the Bible, and I grew to understand more, and I started to serve, and I received those things, and the goal is then that I share it. And then someone like David, he got saved a couple of years ago. He's now received it. Now the goal is that he takes what he has and he passes it on, yes, his first priority to his family, his children, and then he uses that and serves. And so I saw David up in the choir today, and what is he doing? He's made some commitments with his time and resources, and he serves in our security and serves in other areas, and Myra in the coffee shop. What are they doing? Somebody invested here so that we could come to a church and have our lives changed by Christ. Now we take what we've been given and we jump in to try in some small, medium, or large way. It doesn't matter. God knows what you can and should do, and you, that's between you and the Lord, but we try to take what we've been given and give it to someone else. This will change everything. You jumping into service will change your joy. It'll change your impact, your fruit. Receive so that you can give. And again, we have a little shorter video that talks about some of our service teams.
God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things when they say yes. Every Sunday, something powerful happens. Not because everything is perfect, but because people choose to serve. From welcoming guests, to caring for kids, to leading worship, service teams help create a space for people to meet Jesus. When you serve, you're not just filling a spot, you're making an eternal impact.
Hi, I'm Cale Baltazar with Liberty's Safety and Security Team. If you're looking for a way to get more involved in our church, consider joining our service team.
We're always looking for new choir members. Join us every Sunday for rehearsal during the 10:45 service. Praise over performance. We have a good time. Please join us.
Hello, Liberty Baptist Church family. Our breakfast club is cooking up breakfast burritos every Sunday morning. We're always looking for more people to join the team. If you enjoy serving others and being part of a community, we'd love to have you join us.
Hi, my name is Jen McWeans, and I run the On Mission Coffee Shop. And our team is here to serve you and make sure you stay fully caffeinated and awake for our services.
In addition to the teams you've already heard about, there are so many other ways to serve here at Liberty. You can get involved with nursery, kids ministry, breakfast club, first impressions, ushers, or help behind the scenes with sound and live stream. We also have teams serving through our guest department housekeeping, bus ministry, landscaping, special events, and outreach. No matter your gifts or availability, there's a place for you to serve.
There's a place for you on the team. Whatever your gifts are, God can use you. Find a place to serve in the lobby after the service.
And Jesus, by the way, it feels kind of like a commercial because it's videos and it's different than my normal preaching, but it's all right. I wanted us to be able to hit on some specific things. What was Jesus' one prayer request in the New Testament? Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray that people would be willing to serve in my harvest field. We need more laborers is what Jesus said. That was his prayer request. Pray God that God would give more laborers for the work of God. And again, service is something that we get to do, not that we have to do in our lives. But the challenge for us, is your life being used to impact anyone outside of your life? Are you taking what you've been given and serving in some way? And you say, I don't know where to start. It's why we have these Sundays. You can talk to different ministry leaders in the lobby after this and get more information. If you sign up on one of those sheets, it doesn't mean you're signing in blood to commit to the next 50 years. I will do that forever. All it means is I'm willing to get some more information about how I could serve there. If you don't know where to start, see me, see Pastor Doug. It's one of our jobs to help equip people for the work of the ministry and find out where you can use your gifts. A couple of years ago, we challenged our church with that little catchphrase, three to thrive. And it's really what I've preached today. Three to thrive: sit in one, commitment to church attendance; serve in one, commitment to Christian service; and share in one, a commitment to Christian community. What was the idea behind this? And again, be careful that we don't make our Christianity a formula. Well, I sat in one, I served in one, I shared in one, God loves me. Again, that's why we started last week with relationship over routine. Internal over external. This is what I have to do to be accepted by God. This is just a simple programmatic, if you will, challenge to say, where can I take that next step in my growth? And all of this is biblical. And if you'll make these three touches a week through your church family in God's service, I promise you, you will grow and you will thrive better than if you had not done those things. Friends, all of our lives are shaped by our commitments. All of us will be committed to something, and every yes is a no to something else. Earlier this week, I was presented with the opportunity to go up to the 49ers game, and that seemed like a great idea earlier in the week. After last night, not such a great idea. With the opportunity to go up there, and it's a one-hour flight, and I've got miles, and I've got somewhere I could stay up there. I've got family, my mom and my in-laws both live there, and I received that, but I immediately responded, and my immediate response, as much as I wanted to, I was trying to figure it out. I could take Trey up there. It was two tickets. I immediately said, as much as I would love to. I didn't take time. I didn't ask Tiffany. I didn't try to justify it. I just said, as much as I would like to, I can't make that work this time. Thank you for thinking of me. Why? Because I've already said yes to this. And again, I'm not a hero. After last night, I was so glad I didn't fly up there. Every yes is a no. I would have loved to do that, but my commitment here, I wouldn't have been able to get up there and get back in time. I wouldn't have been fully prepared in my heart for this service. That doesn't mean I'll never go up there on a Saturday for a football game. It doesn't mean you can't go to a football game. This is not a guilt trip. It's just an illustration of this week where my commitment here caused me to say no to another commitment that I do to my beloved struggling Niner game. Save myself from great heartache. What will you be committed to in 2026? We all make commitments with our time and our money, don't we? Connie, I think, I don't know how many years ago, I think it was over a decade, if I'm remembering right, that your sister passed away with cancer. And so now, how many years has that been? 22, over two decades. For 22 years now, Connie has made a commitment to volunteering at a hospital in honor of her sister and to help others that are walking through the same thing that she and her family and her sister walked through. What happens? Somebody loved us in our time of need, and because of that, I now want to help someone else in their time. And so she's made a commitment every week. She volunteers at a hospital. Why? There's a commitment. This is important to her. There are others in our church. I see Lynn back there, and others are committed to the Coastal California Corral that just had their Christmas concert here. What does that commitment do? Every Tuesday night they have practice. So guess what? They say no to other things on Tuesday because of that commitment. Craig, you're a committed employee of the happiest place on earth. Have you ever worked, Craig, graveyard shift, gotten bad sleep to practice the parade when the park was closed? Have you done that once or twice or 1,000 or 2,000 times? Have you ever missed a family event because of a work commitment? So have I. Craig's commitment to work changes his schedule and his budget. It changes his life. And all of us have to decide, what are our commitments? This little two-week mini-series, just a challenge, hopefully not a guilt trip, it's not my intent, not a manipulation, but exhorting one another to love and good works. How's our commitment to Christ? Are you saved? How's your commitment to Scripture? How's your commitment to your church and faithful attendance in Christian community, in Christian service? Sit in one, serve in one, share in one. Tiffany and I are 6 weeks away from our 26th wedding anniversary. We have five kids and have been raising kids for 23 and a half of those 26 years. We've never struggled to be fully committed to our church family. We've struggled in plenty of other areas, but not that one. For us, our children have been in church every Sunday. They were physically able from the time they were a few weeks old. They've been in kids' class and youth group, missions conferences, teen camps, VBS, service projects, outreach days, and every other special event that our church has held for their entire lives. And I just want to say, now that I'm getting on the second half of life, I guess, we have zero regrets about that. Three of them no longer live with us. They live in other states right now. And today, all chose to gather with their church family. That may not always be the story for all five of our kids. I don't know where they'll go. But looking back with that short period of time, we have no regrets about those commitments. What I'm preaching to you, I've sought to live. And you say, well, that's because you're a pastor and you're paid to be here. No, it's because I'm a Christian. And Jesus paid everything so that I could be here. It's not a duty I have to do. It's a delight that I get to do. Again, I don't say that to boast. I say it to say it is possible to make these commitments. And by the way, our testimony is the testimony of scores, if not hundreds of you in this room. Same testimony of your commitment. But that's what it is. We're going to have to make a commitment, a promise to God. It'll affect our lives, our marriages, our finances, our schedules, our children. It will and could change everything. So what will you commit to in 2026? Christ, His Word, church attendance, Christian community, and Christian service. Very practical message, but I hope a challenging, encouraging, and good reminder for all of us to find what God has intended in His ordained institution of the local church.
Thank you for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more Bible teaching or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.